சாயிரம். வர்த்திகிராம சமுத்பூதம், பிரசாந்தி நிலைய வாசினம், பக்தாபீஷ்ட பிரதம் தேவம், சத்யசாயம் நமாமியகம். இட் வாஸ் இன் கேரளா. ஆக்சுவலி ஐ ஆம் பார்ன் இன் ஏ வெரி ரிலீஜியஸ் ஃபேமிலி வேர் மை பேரண்ட்ஸ் வர் டிவோட்டட். அப்கோர்ஸ் நாட் டு திஸ் சுவாமி. தே வேர் வெரி ரிலீஜியஸ் ஃபேமிலி ஃப்ரம் த டைம் ஐ வாஸ் பார்ன். ஐ குட் சீ தம் ஆல்வேஸ் இன் த பூஜா ரூம். இன்ஃபேக்ட் மை ஃபாதர் வாஸ் எ கிரேட் சூரிய உபாசகா. அண்ட் வென் ஐ வாஸ் பார்ன் அண்ட் வென் ஹீ நேம் மீ எஸ் வேதநாராயண், அப்கோர்ஸ் தெர் வாஸ் லாட் ஆஃப் ப்ரொட்டஸ்ட் ஃப்ரம் அவர் ஃபேமிலி மெம்பர்ஸ் பிகாஸ் இட் வாஸ் சச் அ டிஃபிகல்ட் நேம் ஃபார் எனிபடி. So, they all suggested many names, but the father wanted only this name. Later, it was in 1964 that we came into Swami's fold. It's a very interesting incident behind it. My father, he was the follower of Ramakrishna Paramahamsa. He felt that Ramakrishna Paramahamsa is the highest personage during the last few centuries after Lord Rama and Krishna. So he felt Ramakrishna Paramahamsa is the ultimate. And he had read lot of books about Ramakrishna Paramahamsa. And my father, he was a great scholar. All the 700 stanzas of Bhagavad Gita was on his fingertips. So Ramakrishna Paramahamsa, in one place he has said, Siddhas and Sadhakas, they should not perform miracles, lest it will come in the way of their spiritual development. So when father heard about Satya Sai Baba, he was a little bit averse. Why this man is performing all these miracles? It is not going to make him reach anywhere. So that was the aversion he had towards Swami. And every day evening, around 8 o'clock, in front of our house, there used to be a temple. And my father used to take me there, to the temple. So one day when we were praying, it was way back in 1964, when we were praying in front of the Lord, our neighbor happened to come there and said, look, I have gone to Puttaparthi and I have come back. I have brought this book on Swami, why don't you take it? Mind you, this is being given in front of the shrine. When somebody gives something in front of the shrine, you can't even refuse. Father was a little reluctant, but still he did take that book. He brought it home and he just left it there. He did not even bother to glance through it. But my mother, she was curious enough. She went through the book. And she got interested so much. She started telling father, why don't you just go through the book? He said, I am not interested. Again and again, she pursued. And one day, he casually opened the book. One paragraph caught his eye. And Swami, in one of his discourses, he is saying, Ramakrishna Paramahamsa says, Siddhas or Yogis should not perform miracles. It is indeed true. I am neither a Siddha nor am I a Yogi. In fact, I am the source and I am the one who has created all these rules for Siddhas and Yogis. He was clean bowled. Because this is one thing, one mental block which he had from accepting Swami. So when he read that, he went through the entire book. He felt that if whatever is said in this book is true, I should go and see him. I think it was one of Satya Sai speaks, I think. Then he and my eldest brother, they came to Swami way back in 1965. In fact, my eldest brother was doing his engineering then. It was his last semester. Something happened to him. He got into a depression and he stopped going to the college. That was the situation. So they both came to Swami. Swami called them for an interview. Of course, in the interview room, all our lives are an open book for Swami. Swami asked my brother, why did you stop your studies? So he started crying. Swami said, no, you go and write the examination. I will give you the degree. So that is how he went and wrote the examination, and he cleared the engineering. And of course, he was one of the senior most engineers in Gujarat Industrial Development Corporation. Recently, he retired also. Later, from then onwards, our family was introduced into Swami. In fact, my father was one of the foremost members in forming a samiti, Satsai Seva, not Seva, that time it is Mandali, in back in our place. And regularly, Thursdays and Sundays, we had no other activity other than Swami's bhajan. Back in 1968, first time, myself, mother, along with my brother, we came to Puttaparthi. And my mother has already introduced me into Swami. And she had told me that whenever you have a problem, you chant Om Sri Sai Ram. As a little boy, I used to ask her, how many times you want me to do this? She says, 108 times. I was too small. I used to ask, what is 108? She said, very simple. See, here, for each Om Sri Sai Ram, you keep counting in these fingers. This will become 10. For each time, you keep folding the other finger. So this will become 100 and another 8. But I understood it as, I used to do Om Sri Sai Ram 10 times like this, Om Sri Sai Ram 10 times like this, and 8 times. This was my 108. But whenever I used to pray like this, things just used to happen. And most of the time, when we used to come to Parthi, regularly every year after that we used to come to Parthi, one day I used to feel that Swami should call us for an interview. That day, I used to close my eyes, 28 times Om Sri Sai Ram, Swami used to come and pick us up for an interview. In fact, I used to be very mischievous. One day I was playing some mischief, some devotee was sitting next to me. He got irritated and said, such a naughty boy you are. You know, Swami will not like you. That pricked me. I said, what do you mean? He said, you are so naughty. I said, you want to see? Swami will come and call me for an interview. I challenged him. He said, no chance. You are so naughty. It is just not possible. He said, you want to see? I became so serious, closed my eyes, and Om Sri Sai Ram 28 times. Swami came, picked us for an interview. I got up, looked at that man's face, and walked into the interview room. That is how Swami put that seed of Namasmarana in me. In fact, throughout that advice of my mother, but slowly I started developing. And as I progressed in my life, I see that I am more of a rationalist type. Anything without experiment, I will not accept, whether it can be mantras. In fact, I practically do it and see, I expect certain result from doing certain things. If that result comes, then only I accept that. So that was my entire my life. Throughout my life, my spiritual growth was like that. So I used to, any mantras I used to take up, whether it is Gayatri. In fact, many experiences I had with Gayatri mantra. So many things. I used to sometimes take up a challenge and see, if this really happened, I am going to do this many times. And if it is really happened, the result comes, then I will see that I will stick on to this mantra. In fact, that is how my faith in the spiritual matters developed more and more. Then it was way back in 1976, I got admission in Swami's college. It was a real turning point in my life. Because till then, I stayed in the house. I was the youngest of the lot. So all the attention used to come to me. I used to be so selfish and self-centered. But when I came to Swami's college, because it is a totally new system where we have to live with so many boys together and caring and sharing. This is the greatest lesson I learned. This is one place where I found all the students. They live for each other and ultimately they live for Swami. That is something, I think, I don't think anywhere else. All the teachers, they used to take care of us in such a way that, we are their own younger brothers. That was the type of feeling teachers used to have towards students, and students used to have for the teachers. That, and those days, of course, that new hostel building was not there. So we used to have a big hall where we had to put our luggage, and on the ground we had to spread our mat. That was our, it was more of a dormitory type of hostel. And our suitcase used to be our desk. So this is how we used to live together. And early morning getting up, all the discipline, it was so wonderful. It was during that time, the proposal which came up that a new hostel, because a new college building has already come up in Vrindavan. I'm talking about Vrindavan. That time this college was not there, way back in 1976. So in the new college building has already come up where it is existing today. Before, the college building was in the Kalyana Mandapam. Now this Sai Kishan, that Kalyana Mandapam is there. Before, there used to be a small building. In fact, I remember our chemistry lab, when I joined, our chemistry lab still used to be there as the last room where we have to do our chemistry practical there. And Swami used to very often, morning and evening, he used to come to the hostel. Those were the time when the Sairam shed used to be there. And morning and evening, when Swami used to come for darshan there, he used to come to the hostel, which used to be where the general stores are there in Vrindavan. There used to be a small shed. And that was the kitchen come hostel. So we used to stay there. But Swami used to come morning and evening. Whenever he used to come for darshan there, he used to come to the hostel and used to spend hours together speaking to the boys, giving chance to the boys. Then, those were the time when Swami used to go for darshan. There is no sitting lay. All the boys used to walk along with Swami. And when Swami used to come to the hostel, and after spending time, when he used to come out, we had a practice. Near the Swami's entrance door, we had put a small pathway. And each and every boy, they'll be standing face to face. Now, Swami used to come out, and he used to literally wade through. He used to push each and every boy, he used to make way for himself and used to go. It was a chance for all the boys to touch Swami. Like that, we had wonderful time. And that was a time when they had plans to build a new hostel building next to the college, where it is a huge college building had already built. And they had also dug up the ground to build a massive hostel building next to the college. But all the children were sad, because here in Vrindavan, any time we can go to the mandir, we can be under the direct care of Swami, we can always, because Swami comes to the hostel, all these things are going to become really less once we are going to shift away from that place. So everybody was sad, but Swami used to say, now you are going to have a huge hostel, you need not suffer like this. You have no convenience at all. All the boys have to sit on the floor, write notes, etc. Now you will have a pakka building. Each and every one of you will get a single room. You will have a cot. You will have a chair, table, you know. And that was the huge building plan which Swami was having. But none of the children were happy. Because anywhere else, let us see in the world, when we are going to get more comfort, that everybody will be happy. But here all the boys were sad, because they had to move away from Swami. That was the feeling. So, the next day, the following day was the foundation stone to be laid by Swami for the new hostel. So that day morning, Swami has come to the hostel, and he is sitting there, and Swami looked around, smiled and said, so now you are going to have a new, they have already dug up the ground for foundation stone laying. Everything has been made, set. Now you will have a huge hostel where you will have all the facilities. There was one little boy standing next to Swami holding a letter. And he showed the letter to Swami. Swami picked up the letter from him. He read the letter. He asked him, shall I read out the content to everybody? He asked. Swami, your wish. So Swami asked the warden to read out the content of the letter. He has written, Swami, we don't want a new hostel. The present, wherever we are staying, the present place, even 100 or 200 boys come, will somehow adjust. We don't want to move away from Swami's physical presence. If Swami is very particular that we should go and stay there within a new building, Swami should also demolish this present building, make a new building for yourself next to our hostel there. Swami was so touched. He was really moved. He said, called Jogarao. Colonel Jogarao was in charge of the construction. So Colonel Jogarao came. He told Amy Jogarao, boys are saying that they don't want a new hostel. Swami, how can it be possible? We have made all the arrangements. Tomorrow is the foundation stone. Then Swami asked, is it not possible to construct the hostel inside the Vrindavan campus itself? Swami, where is the place? There is no place at all. How can you construct the hostel inside the Vrindavan campus? Then, because Vrindavan campus, as you see, the most of that place was occupied one huge, there used to be a tank used to be there. So, a huge tank, and of course it was dry, no water was there. Swami asked, can't you construct something on the top of that? How can it be possible, Swami? It is a tank and it is just not possible. You know, Swami sat and gave all the this thing, plan, how to construct a hostel within Vrindavan campus. Though so much money has been spent on that, just a small prayer from a little heart. And Swami immediately responds. Because Swami always says, my children are my properties. That is a spontaneous love of Swami. See, he did not mind that new place has been acquired, so much money has been spent on that, nothing. He immediately changed the plans and he says, tomorrow we will have the foundation stone here. That is how the present beautiful hostel is standing there. Not only that, that day Swami said, I am going to give you all dinner in my place. Swami called all the students upstairs to his room and there he provided dinner. That is the love and compassion of. At that time, we were hardly 120. Then, during the construction time, Swami regularly used to visit the site. And we used to have a competition because whenever Swami goes to the construction site, he immediately asks for his slippers. So, we'll take a chance. We used to take and keep the slippers, Swami's slippers with us. And suddenly when Swami asks, we used to run. Because there's a great chance for us to put it on his feet and take his namaskar. So one by one, every day, somebody used to plan for that. And we used to hold the slippers and stand. One day Swami was passing by. And for mixing the concrete for the building, they had heaped small stones. So Swami picked one of the stones and threw it to one of the boys. And when he caught that, it was a sugar candy. Oh, you got a sugar candy. Eat it, Swami said. After telling that, Swami went to see the construction. See, I was watching this. This boy thought he can share it with his friends. So he kept it in his pocket without eating it. So when Swami came back, Swami smiled and asked, did you eat? He said, no. Why? I told you to eat. Where is it? He said. So he took it out from his pocket. Give it me, he said. So he handed over to Swami. Swami took that and threw it back into the heap of stones. It went back as a stone. Whenever I say something, implicitly obey. Don't question. This is what happens if you don't do that. Swami said, smiled and walked away. See, his way of teaching, especially for youngsters, small incidents, it will be very small incidents, but it creates such an impact on the younger generation's mind. See, that is how he is able to capture the students' attention so much. Then another time, those were the time when all the hostel activities were done by the boys. In fact, we used to have only one head cook. Vegetable cuttings are done by the boys. And even chapati rolling done by the boy. It is just like a single house where we take care to see everything is, in fact, all the security duty, everything is done by the boys. Even Gokulam, boys used to go milk the cows. Morning 2 o'clock they used to get up. And they used to go and attend. They used to give bath to the this thing, cows. They used to milk the cows. And with all these things, they used to go and attend the colleges. You may be wondering how they used to study. In fact, most of the boys, those who worked in the Gokulam, Vijay Bhaskar, I remember all these boys, and they are all first rank students. See, that is where God's grace follow. When you do your, one day we were rolling the chapati, I remember, Tommy had gone for giving darshan. After, we used to sing bhajans loudly when we were rolling the chapatis. And he walked and came to the this thing where you are singing bhajans, and he looked, oh, what you are all doing? Oh, you are making chapatis. Give me one chapati, he said. He took that in his hand, he just mixed it and he just blew it, and it became a samosa. He said, fry this and bring it to me for dinner, he said. While talking about dinner, it was, we used to have chances to take dinner for Swami. From hostel, we used to prepare dishes, and whoever used to be free, those time there is no particular boy, whoever is to be free, whoever is found around, they will ask, hey, do you want to take dinner or lunch for Swami? All the four times you have to take food for Swami. So whoever is there, they'll say, okay, I'll take. And we used to take carriers upstairs, and there Swami used to, of course, it is only for namesake Swami we used to take. Swami used to make us sit there, and he used to literally feed us. That used to happen. So all the four times, that is the time when we have Swami will ask about us, and you know, boys will have one. And every day evening bhajans is something wonderful. Swami used to sit, all the boys used to sit around him, and Swami used to sing, Swami used to make boys sing, Swami used to play the talam sometimes, Swami used to play the chipla. Oh, these are all wonderful golden moments of those days. Then after I joined there, I did my graduation in BSc science, chemistry, botany, zoology. So after finishing that, during that period only, we used to come during vacation time to Prashantinilayam. Then Swami used to come out of the interview room and used to tell us, hey, you boys, this is vacation time. Don't waste your time. Go and learn some Vedas from Kamavadani Garu. So Swami had arranged some Vedam classes. Still then I did not know anything on Vedam. Though my name used to be Vedanarayan, I never used to know anything on Vedas. So Swami had arranged our classes behind the Purnachandra auditorium. There used to be green rooms, of course, where Swami is staying now. So we used to go, and Kamavadani Garu used to come there, and he used to teach us Veda. And mind you, we were so blessed to have Swami used to come to our class, and he used to sit in the class. And he used to make individually, he used to make us chant, and he used to find out our mistake where we are chanting. And one of the boys, I still remember, he said, Swami, when everybody chant together, I will also chant. Swami said, nothing doing, I will not agree. Individually, you should know. Individually, you should know. That is how, then we did not know why Swami wanted each one of us to learn, because he had a mission. He has told that he has life's four pillars are Veda Poshana, Vidvat Poshana, Dharma Sthapana and Bhakta Rakshana. Dharma Sthapana has to be done, the Vedas have to be nurtured, they are the roots. So initially, when Swami had in 1962 had the Veda Pathashala, later when these children grew up, Swami found that with the competitive world outside, they were not able to, because only Vedic learning, they were finding it difficult to cope up with the world outside. Then Swami felt that there is a real need for even this secular education as well as spiritual, both like two wings. I think that is why later Swami started the primary school and higher secondary school and the institute. And as part of their learning, Swami also now, everybody started learning Vedas also along with that. And now, of course, after Swami started this public Vedic chanting morning and evening, all foreigners people of all caste and religion, everybody has started learning Vedas. Because I know there is one person from Japan here who is proficient. After coming here, he has come with only the purpose of learning Vedas. And in the primary school, Swami's primary school, there's a little boy called Satya from Iran who chants beautifully. He's a Muslim boy, but he chants beautifully. So also, I have students in higher secondary school. They are, of course, with a Christian faith, but they beautifully chant Vedas. So this is how that Vedodharana is being done by Swami. See, whatever Swami does, it has got a purpose. Swami may start with such small things, but how it grows into gigantic tree, it is a really experience to watch. Then, going back, after I finished my degree in chemistry, botany and zoology, next the question came, what to do for post-graduation? Because we prayed Swami, Swami should keep us all here because we want to serve Swami here. At that time, there was no post-graduation here. It was in the Bangalore University Central College. And during that time, Swami used to allow some of the students to stay in Swami's hostel and to go to Bangalore University and come back. So, during that time, my favorite subjects were botany. Botany, and during one of the interviews, Swami had told me that you do MBA. So, I had applied for MBA also. During that time, this is one of the customs of Bangalore University is, it is not like one single day reopening. All the departments will reopen on one single day. Each department will reopen on its own time. Sometimes even 1 or 2 months this way and that. So that time I had already got admission in one of the subjects for masters. Oh, and we had the good fortune of taking Swami's Pada Namaskar every day morning before going to the Central College. So we used to go to Swami. And when he used to take Pada Namaskar, Swami used to ask me, hey, what subject you got? Then he said, immediately added, you better do philosophy. Philosophy? What is this Swami is talking about? This is something I have not, I can't even spell it properly. What is Swami is telling? I should do postgraduate in philosophy. I just kept quiet. I did not talk anything to Swami. That day I took Pada Namaskar and went to the university. So during the interval time, I inquired where the philosophy department is. It is a separate building altogether. I went there. And of course the department was closed. And on the notice board I found that they had already started the classes. 1 week prior to that, admissions all closed. So I felt relieved. But I can confidently tell Swami that they have already started the classes and I will not get the admission. So that day I came back. Next day, as usual, I went to take Swami's Pada Namaskar. He again asked, hey, what subject you got? You better do philosophy. I said, Swami, all admissions closed. Yesterday I found out. You go and ask. You go and ask. Then immediately the thought came, poor Swami, he doesn't know all these admission rules. Because for any admission for post-graduation, that too in any university, basic requirement is an application form. And the last date of application form is already over. And second thing is, you should at least be a graduate in philosophy so that you can do masters in philosophy. I am not even a graduate in philosophy. Thirdly, if you have good marks, they will call you for an interview. And after finishing all these things, they will select you for masters in philosophy. How can just going and asking someone, they are going to give you the seat? So I just laughed within myself and poor Swami, he doesn't know all these things. I thought within myself. At the same time, I know that Swami does not speak mere words. So this is second time Swami is asking me to do philosophy. I don't want to disobey him. Then I asked him, suppose I don't get Swami. He said, you go and ask. Then I knew that I won't get it. So I myself thought why is enough and told him a suggestion I made. Swami, shall I do it privately if I don't get it?
Then Swami said, privately means you study in the hostel, then go and write the examination. Swami said, yes, if you don't get, do it privately. That means he wanted me to do philosophy. I took Padanamaskar, went. During the interval time, I went to the department. That day, philosophy department was open. I knocked the door, went inside and said, sir, I am very much interested in joining philosophy department. Professor and head of the department, he was sitting there. He looked at me and said, you are welcome to the department. Sir, wait a minute. I don't have an application form. I have not applied for it. No problem. Without an application form. Second thing I said, sir, I am a science graduate. Sir, no problem. Then third thing I said, sir, I have already joined another department. Now I knew that this was the last weapon I had, that he will say, of course, if you already joined, then you won't get the admission. I said, I have already joined the other department. He said, no problem. I will shift all your fees from there to here. From tomorrow onwards, you can come and attend the class. I was shocked. That day I went back to Vrindavan. That time we were privileged to walk into Swami's room. So I went to the Swami's room. Swami was sitting on the cot and he was relaxing. He looked from his corner of his eyes and he smiled and asked, what? I said, Swami, by your grace, I got philosophy. I told you. What a casual remark. He said, I told you. That's why in Sanskrit it is said, Sadbihi lilaya proktam shilalikhitam aksharam. Even the great ones, even casually, playfully, whatever they say, it is like inscription on a rock. Swami doesn't speak words casually. Whatever he says, it has got a great meaning behind it. And mind you, it was no simple subject at all, because it's an abstract subject. And I was finding it real, real tough, because I have no basis at all. I was struggling hard. But however hard I tried, grades were coming down. So that was the time when we had come for Swami's darshan in Prashantinilayam. So Swami called us for an interview room, and there was one judge of the Supreme Court. He was also sitting there. Then Swami looked at him and said, you know this boy? He is first rank gold medal in philosophy, he said. I simply put my head down because I knew what grade I was getting there. I felt, oh Swami, please don't embarrass me. Please forgive me, Swami. I am finding the subject very tough. I was just praying within myself. But mind you, when the final exam results came, it was university first rank gold medal. I couldn't believe myself. See, this is how Swami can do things. Only thing is, we should have that faith and hold on to his feet and say, Swami, it is you and you and you alone and not me. When we have that faith and combined with that Namasparana, he says, that Namam has got such power. By thinking continuously, by chanting the Lord's name, we get so much of strength. And that name has got, it can create wonders. Only those who experience, they can say that. Then, way back, after my post-graduation in philosophy, I came to Prashantinilayam, and in the meanwhile, 1 year, Swami told me to go and teach Vedam for all the students in higher secondary school. I taught nothing but Vedam for all the students. That was the time when the entire higher secondary school learned Vedas, all the class children. And during that 1 year I taught, after that, what happened? The Sanskrit teacher from higher secondary school left. So principal went and asked Swami, we need a Sanskrit teacher for us. Don't worry, I'll send that Vedanarayan. But I have to tell you something. In my school days, father was insisting that I should learn Sanskrit. And unfortunately, the circumstances where I learned Sanskrit was so bad. I had such hatred for the subject. In fact, honestly, my 10th class, I just managed to grace through the subject. And after that examination, I came and told my father, "Father, I take an oath in my life that I will never touch this subject again." So, when principal came and told me that Swami has told you that you are going to come and teach Sanskrit, I said, "You can just forget it, sir. Because Sanskrit is one thing I just don't know anything about. Any other subject." So what I did immediately, before things could complicate itself, one thing I wanted to be prepared for it, I just asked two or three students from 8th class and 9th class. I just wanted to see what the syllabus is like. I went through, I could not make the head and tail of it. I safely gave it back and wrote a letter to Swami. "Swami, it seems you have told the principal that I should go and teach Sanskrit. I don't know anything in Sanskrit, Swami. It is like Latin and Greek for me. Any other subject, though I am a science graduate, any other subject, even if it's commerce or accountancy, I'll sit and learn something and go. I can go and teach. But this is one thing, I just can't do it." At the same time, when you say, "I don't want to disobey." So, if you're very particular that I should teach Sanskrit, give me only 8th class or 9th grade. I don't want to try my experiment with the school final students, 10th and 12th, because they have All India examination. So I don't want to do that. Please, Swami. I wrote a letter. Swami read the letter and he kept quiet about it. So I felt relieved. 1 month passed. Suddenly one day, after interview, Swami came out on the upper veranda and principal was sitting there with a file. Swami asked him, "What?" "Swami, we need a Sanskrit teacher." "Where? I have already told you. Where is he?" Swami looked this way and that way and he pointed, "Hey, come here," he said. I started praying. He said, "Go and teach Sanskrit," he commanded. I was looking piteously at him. I didn't know what to say. Before I could say something, he said, "First take namaskar," he said, "because that is the final word." So I took namaskar and I asked him. Swami first said, "First start with lower classes," he said. "Yes, Swami," because he has told, now I have no other way. Then I asked him, "Swami, when shall I join?" Swami thought for a while and said, "Join on Vinayak Chaturthi day." Vinayak Chaturthi day is a holiday. How can I join on that day? So I went and told principal, "Sir, Swami has told me to join on Vinayak Chaturthi day." Principal said, "Fine. I am going to call all the students and you can have the classes." So on Vinayak Chaturthi day, Swami sent me to the school and I started with Gananamtvam for all the students. But something wonderful happened from that day. From that day, the same books when I started opening, all the words, its meaning, its grammar point automatically flash in my mind. This is the grace of the Guru. Kartum, agartum, anyadha kartum shakyaha. By his mere will, he can do and undo things. See, that is the power of the Lord and Lord's words. See, once he, what we require to do is karishye vachanam tava. Whatever you say is Lord, whatever you say, I will do it if you say. How it should be implemented, it is his responsibility. When we started taking things into our hand and say, "I am the doer, I am going to do this," just will not work. When we just resign ourselves and say, "Swami, please take care of things," and you can see how beautifully it flows. Till today, in fact, if I am teaching, it's only due to his grace. And not only that, you may be wondering, what is the fate of my students? But students, in All India level examination, many students are scoring 100 out of 100. That is his grace. And not only that, now we are having communicative language, communicative Sanskrit. That means we have to teach Sanskrit in the medium of Sanskrit. So we have to talk in Sanskrit. So this is where, from mere zero, how Swami raises your level to such heights. So only what we require is, again I am stressing this point, that complete resignation to his total will. Swami, whatever, don't resist. In fact, welcome whatever he gives. It is not life is always a smooth cakewalk. There is a lot of problems will be there. But if we hold on to his hand, no obstacle can come in our way.